ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। थैंक यू फॉर अटेंडिंग द क्लास। एक्चुअली वंस प्रभुपाद वाज गिविंग क्लास इन मायापुर, भागवतम क्लास, एंड ही नोटिस्ड दैट भवानंद वाज़न देयर इन द क्लास। So he sent somebody to call Bhavananda. So Bhavananda came and Prabhupada said, why are you not attending the class? Oh Prabhupada, I was cleaning something. And Prabhupada said, we can pay people to clean, but we cannot pay people to attend the Bhagavatam class. So Bhagavatam class is very important. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 27, Attack by Chandavega on the City of Puranjana. Text number 26. Please repeat. Atho Bhajaswa Mam Bhadra Bhajantim Me Dayam Kuru Itavam Purusha Dharma Yat Artam Anukampati. Atu Bhajaswa Mam Bhadra Bhajantim Medayam Kuru Itavam Purusho Dharmo Yadartam Manukampati. Translation. Kalakaniya continued, O gentle one, I am now present before you to serve you. Please accept me and thus show me mercy. It is a gentleman's greatest duty to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed. Please repeat. Kalakanya continued, O gentle one, I am now present before you to serve you. Please accept me and thus show me mercy. It is a gentleman's greatest duty to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed. Jai. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Yavana Raja, the king of the Yavanas, could also refuse to accept Kalakanya, daughter of time. But he considered the request due to the order of Narada Muni. So this is very important because Narada Muni is one of the 12 Mahajanas. And first he was thinking, Yavanaraja, I'm not going to accept this request. But because it was the order of a superior authority, Narada Muni, then he said, no, I need to consider. I cannot just decline like this. Thus he accepted Kalakanya in a different way. In other words, the injunctions of Narada Muni or the path of devotional service can be accepted by anyone within the three worlds and certainly by the king of the Yavanas. Lord Chaitanya himself requested everyone to preach the cult of Bhakti Yoga all over the world. So this was a request of Lord Chaitanya. And that's why Prabhupada went to the West. And this was also a request of his spiritual master. But the first time they met, and actually there's a nice pastime, because one time Prabhupada asked Brahmananda, how did you join? You know, even Prabhupada was interested in knowing how Somebody joined. Sometimes we ask another devotee, how did you join? Tell me the story. Some of the stories are very fascinating, actually. You know, I know one devotee, he was exercising in the gym, and the book, there was a bookcase, a book fell on his head. And he read the book and he became a devotee. There's so many, you know, so many very funny stories. This other one, he is in, I think, 17 or 18. Suddenly he decided that he wanted to know God. And he went to the local church, to the priest, and he asked all kinds of questions, but he was not satisfied. He went to another church, he went to a mosque, to different places. And he was never satisfied. Then he went to his mother and said, Mother, no, I want to find God, but I went to this church and that mosque, and I don't know, their answers do not satisfy me. And his mother said, you know, about 20 years ago, before you were born, I bought a book. It's still there on the shelf. Why don't you read it? You may like it. So he took the book that was sitting there for 20 years. He read the book. He went to the temple and he became initiated. And so many stories like this. So Prabhupada was asking Brahmananda, how did you join? And Brahmananda said, oh, Prabhupada, actually, a friend of mine was coming to the temple and he wanted me to go with him. He said, no, there's this Swami there on the Lower East Side. You know, it's an amazing Swami. He has a tape recorder. Brahmananda said, a Swami with a tape recorder? Because Brahmananda was into the impersonal mood. He would not even wear a watch, because time was something material. Now a Swami with a tape recorder, that's too much. He said, no, you've got to meet him, you have to see him. So he basically, Brahmananda telling Prabhupada, he forced me to come here, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, well, the same with me. Because you know the story, Prabhupada did not want to go and see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Actually, his friend forced him to go. And then Brahmananda said, and he left and I stayed. And Prabhupada said, same with me again. My friend left and I stayed. So Prabhupada went to the West to fulfill the mission of his spiritual master, because at that meeting, when he was offering obeisances, and then when he was raising up from the obeisances, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that, now you are educated man, why don't you go and preach this knowledge in the English language all over the world? And it was just actually like a comment, and Prabhupada took as an order. And his entire life he was meditating on doing this, exactly what it said on this purport that says, Lord Chaitanya himself requested everyone to preach the cult of Bhakti Yoga all over the world, in every village and town. Preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement have actually experienced that even the Yavanas, they were looking at one of them, and Mlechas, have taken to spiritual life on the strength of Narada Muni's Pancharatrika Vidhi. When mankind follows the disciplic succession as recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone throughout the world will benefit. So like this is an amazing purport. Going back to the verse, Atho bhajashva mam bhadra bhajam ting me dayam kuru itavam purusho dharmo yadartam anukampate. Kalakanya continued, O gentle one, I am now present before you to serve you. Please accept me and thus show me mercy. It is a gentleman's greatest duty to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed. So everyone in this world, everyone is distressed. Prabhupada actually gave the example that he was talking to a lady in New York when he arrived and said, how are you? He said, I'm doing very well. But within a few minutes talking to her, she was lamenting about so many things. So the first reaction they say, now when you say, how are you doing? And they say, I'm doing very well. But you just wait a few minutes. It's really cold. It's too cold. No. My job, I don't like my job. I'm not making enough money. My wife hates me. You know, my children don't obey me. There's all kinds of problems. You know, so if you wait just a few minutes, they start complaining about everything. But Prabhupada is saying here on the purport that we are the solution to their problems. Once in England, Prabhupada was walking on a park, and one devotee, British devotee, was walking with him, and Prabhupada saw some hippies sleeping on the park. And Prabhupada said that it's their good fortune that now they are seeing the devotees passing there. Now, when you see a devotee of Krishna, that reminds you of Krishna. Tilaka, dhoti. Prabhupada said he looks like an inhabitant of Vaikuntha. And the devotee had a question in his mind. And at one point he decided to ask the question. He was a little afraid because he thought that only the American devotees had the freedom to come close to Prabhupada and ask. No, the British devotees, they were like all new. And I said, but Prabhupada, please explain to me good fortune. I thought that, you know, somebody does some pious activities and then he receives the result, or he does some impious activities and he receives the bad result. And Prabhupada paused for a moment and said, we are the good fortune. He didn't say that I am the good fortune. He said, we are the good fortune. So people have no good fortune. And it's up to us to give that good fortune to them. Without our help, without the transcendental books of Krishna consciousness, they are hopeless. They don't have any shelter. Sometimes they think they have any knowledge, but when they come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, they realize that they don't have any knowledge. There's a nice pastime. Prabhupada was in Australia, and after he gave his speech, one Australian man said, your divine grace, how do you like Australia? And Prabhupada said, I like it very much. And then all the Australians, yay! And Prabhupada said, I like every place very much. And they go, oh. Prabhupada said, because every place belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. Then a second person asked the question. And then a third person, a young man in his 20s, he stood up and he said, today I choose to be God. And you could see Prabhupada's lips started quivering. When Prabhupada got angry, his lips started quivering. And Prabhupada said, my God is very powerful. And the man said, today I choose to be the all-powerful God. And Prabhupada said, and today I choose to kick you on your face with my shoes. What are you going to do? And the man said, I need some time to think. And Prabhupada said, my God is God all the time. And then everybody, ooh! And then the man was completely destroyed. And then Prabhupada completely changed his mood and became very compassionate, very merciful, and said, give up this nonsense. Don't try to be God. Try to be godly. So he was very merciful to everyone. This is one of the qualities of the Vaishnava. Titikshava karunika suhridam sarvadehina. No, he's merciful. He's the friend of everybody. And even when devotees made mistakes, No, Prabhupada was very merciful. There's a nice pastime when they were buying the Juhu temple. And I like to tell Prabhupada's pastime, so I hope you don't mind. And that's what I usually study the most. Usually everybody likes it. So when they were buying the Juhu temple, it was a difficult situation. It was a difficult situation. And the devotees had a contract in place, but because they did not fulfill all the demands of the contract. Jai Shri Gaura Nitai, Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Radha Shyama Sundar Ki Jai. Because they did not fulfill all the demands, the contract was cancelled. Prabhupada was staying in Hyderabad, in the house of a very wealthy man. The man's name is Pandalal Piti. And if you look on the internet, this man is all over the place actually. He's a historical person. They call him the Raja Pandalal Piti. He was the wealthiest man in Hyderabad. Prabhupada was staying there, and Prabhupada invited Mr. Nair, the owner of the land, the Juhu land, to come and negotiate with him. He went negotiating. So this Mr. Nair came, but he brought his guru with him, a Sudhu guru, because he thought Prabhupada has some mystic power. And if I come alone, he's going to hypnotize me and get all the contract done. So I need some protection. He brought his guru. So Mr. Pandalal, he offered them dinner. They ate dinner. And after dinner, Prabhupada was yawning a little bit. And Mr. Nair said, Prabhupada, you seem to be tired. Maybe you want to have a little rest. And Prabhupada said, yes, I am tired. I want to have a little rest. So Prabhupada went to the room to take rest. And Mr. Nair and his guru went to another room. Then Prabhupada immediately called Tamal Krishna. Usually Prabhupada would take some rest after eating prasadam. But he called Tamal Krishna and said, what are they doing? Oh Prabhupada, he is resting with his guru in another room. Okay, you go there and wake up Mr. Nair only and bring him here. So Tamal Krishna went there and woke up Mr. Nair. He said, shh, don't wake up your guru. So he brought Mr. Nair, and Prabhupada is preaching to him and negotiating. And within minutes, he convinced Mr. Nair to do a new contract. And immediately he sent Shama Sundar and Tamal Krishna to the room next door to get his typewriter and type the contract. So the contract was typed. He brought back and Mr. Nair signed. And suddenly the guru woke up and came to the room, not knowing anything that was happening. And Mr. Nair was hitting on his head. Why did I do this? Why did I sign this? And Prabhupada said, it's okay, it's okay. Then Mr. Nair flew back to Mumbai, or Bombay, with Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Shama Sundar. And then that new contract also had some demands that had to be fulfilled. However, what happened is that the devotee's lawyer, ISKCON lawyer, was actually working with Mr. Nair against ISKCON. No, which is not uncommon in India. Panchagoda probably has some experience. Yeah. And again, the devotees did not fulfill all the demands, and the contract was cancelled. So Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna, said, so, how is the contract doing? How is everything? And Tamal Krishna said, Prabhupada, the contract was cancelled. And he only heard Prabhupada hung up the phone. Then Prabhupada went back to Bombay. And everybody that came to see Prabhupada said, and this foolish boy, he cancelled the contract again. And for 2 months, everybody that came, he said, and this foolish boy, again he canceled it. And this foolish boy, again, he has done it again. And this foolish boy, and this foolish boy. But Tamal Krishna explains that although Prabhupada was saying like this and correcting him, actually, he never felt rejected by Prabhupada. Prabhupada actually never rejected him. Prabhupada was always lovingly. And eventually, He went back to the lawyers and did everything and were able to get the contract back. After a year and a half, it was a difficult situation. So he explains that Prabhupada had this quality, that he always had hope that somebody will correct himself and do better. He was all merciful. And that's why he went all over the world and was able to capture the attention of so many people from so many different cultures. I want to do a poll here. How many of you, and please raise your hand, came to the movement after 1977? Raise your hand. The majority, 99%. So that means that Prabhupada's movement is so great that even in his absence, preaching is going on and devotees are coming and the movement is expanding. Now let's track back to the beginning, because it says here that Lord Chaitanya himself requested everyone to preach the cult of Bhakti Yoga all over the world. So we know how Prabhupada left India. Let's talk a little bit about Prabhupada's sacrifice to fulfill this mission. It wasn't something easy. Now we come to Vrindavan and there is a car that will pick us up. There is nice accommodation, there is nice temple, there is nice prasadam, nice association, nice devotees everywhere, nice preaching programs. But when Prabhupada went to the US, you know how much he was carrying. Let's do a quick poll here. How much money Prabhupada was carrying with him? Raise your hand. 40 rupees. Okay. And Prabhupada was also carrying books. And then he arrived in the US. You know, it took Prabhupada, this trip took 37 days from the 13th of August 1965 to the 19th of September 1965. 37 days. Okay. And then finally, he arrived at the Brooklyn Pier in Brooklyn, New York. Okay. Now, I have a question for you. I'm going to test your knowledge of Prabhupada. Are you up to the question? I gave this quiz at the Chaupati Temple, 3 questions. They got 1 right out of 3. I'm not doing bad advertisement about them, but just what happened. You know? So, I'm not going to make you look bad, so I'm going to ask only one. What was something unique that Prabhupada did during the trip on the Jaladuta that basically set the mood for the Hare Krishna movement? And was not about the poem that he wrote. Yes, correct. He deserves $100,000. He's not distributed. He sold a set of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3 volumes, to Captain Arun Pandya. For how much? $20. Panchajanya, not $100,000 here. $20. Panchajanya said he needs the $100,000. For $20. So you see that Prabhupada was a book distributor. And when he arrived in New York City, you know, when he came out of customs, Prabhupada said that he did not know if he was going to turn right or left. He didn't know where to go. Was anybody waiting for Prabhupada when he arrived in New York? Who can answer this question? Raise your hand. No. Wrong. Next. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Wrong. Another try?
Some assistant for the bus company or for
Yes. It's a company, Travelers Aid International. This company still exists. Prabhupada had a friend in Mathura called Mr. Agarwal. And Mr. Agarwal had a son who lived in Butler, Pennsylvania, who was married to Sally Agarwal. And his friend in Mathura requested his son in the U.S. to please help this saintly person that is coming to the U.S. So Mr. Agarwal could not go to pick up Prabhupada. And I'm going to explain in a moment why. But he hired an agent from a company called Travelers Aid International. And that agent was there waiting for Prabhupada. Okay. So that agent first took Prabhupada to Now, this gets difficult. To the office of the Scindia Company in Manhattan. Now, Prabhupada traveled for 37 days on the ship. That's a long trip. You know, I don't know about you, but I flew from Florida to New York. It was 2 hours. Then I flew from New York to Frankfurt. It was 8 hours. Then I had to wait at the airport for 6 hours. Then I took a flight to Mumbai, was another 8 hours. Then I took another flight to Vrindavan, another 2 hours. And I was dead tired. So Prabhupada was 70 years old. So 37 days traveling on the ship. Then he arrives in New York. Then he is taking to the Scindia Company office in Manhattan to book his trip back to India. That was a requirement. And then from there, he was taken to the Port Authority Terminal that is right in the center of Manhattan. I used to work nearby and walk by every day and always thought Prabhupada took the bus here. And there, the agent from Travel Aid International put him on the bus and Prabhupada departed for Pittsburgh, which was by car is a 5.5 hour trip, but by bus takes longer because the bus stops many times, more about 8 hours. So now on top of everything, another 8 hours by bus. And then Mr. Agarwal was waiting for him and drove him to Butler one more hour by car. So it wasn't an easy trip. So in a letter to Karandara in 1974, Prabhupada wrote from Mayapur, 1974, he wrote, "This entire institution was started without any money. Because I brought 40 rupees from India, but when I tried to change the 40 rupees in the US, nobody wanted to exchange it. Because it was like no meaningless money. Had no meaning, 40 rupees. So I could not exchange. So I ended up using the 40 rupees when I went back to India to pay for a taxi fare. So this entire movement was started only with books." So Prabhupada's mission of preaching all over the world, as Lord Chaitanya says, yeah? Lord Chaitanya himself requested everyone to preach the cult of Bhakti Yoga all over the world in every town and village. He started only with books. He had with him 3 sets of books. He said 200 sets of books in this letter, which I assume was 600 books. Okay? Now, I would like to read something for you about a prediction that Prabhupada would come. Okay? This is Lord Krishna in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. After 5,000 years, so it's not Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya came at 4,500 years. After 5,000 years, my mantra, Upasaka, worshipper of the holy name. Mantra Upasaka means the worshipper of the holy name. Will appear in this world and spread the chanting of my holy name everywhere. So Lord Krishna predicting in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana that Prabhupada would appear and he would spread the holy name everywhere. Now today, others have gone to the West and is spreading the holy name. But Prabhupada was the one to open the path. Now everybody's just walking on that path. Before, nobody actually could believe this was possible. Now one time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had a devotee, one of his disciples, who was a Sanskrit professor. And he would teach Sanskrit to devotees on an upper floor. And one day, Prabhupada was sitting downstairs. And he came from the class. And he was asking Prabhupada, "You know, do you really believe on this prediction that the holy name will be spread all over the world? Is this real or is just, you know?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh yes, it will be spread. A foolish disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta will take this holy name all over the world. But don't worry, it won't be yourself." So, he knew that this was happening. And then Lord Chaitanya, in the Sri Chaitanya Mangala, he says, look, and this applies to most of us, at least to me. "Even if the sinners reject religion and flee to foreign countries, even if the sinners reject religion and flee to foreign countries, I will send more Senapati Bhakta, my military commander. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, if you flee anywhere, don't worry, I'm going to send my military commander to catch you. Okay? To go there and deliver them. So he sent Prabhupada to deliver the devotees. Otherwise, who would deliver us? Who would give us Krishna consciousness? I remember that I was 18 when I first met the devotees of Krishna. For those 18 years, you know, 18 years is a long time, I never heard the name Krishna. I never saw a picture of Krishna. I never saw a book of Krishna. I never saw a deity of Krishna. I never ate prasadam of Krishna. My connection with Krishna was zero. Completely zero. Then I was walking on the street and a merciful soul sold me one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And that same day, I read on the book that we should not eat meat. I became a vegetarian that same day. But if it was not for Prabhupada coming and for that merciful soul selling the book, I would never get in touch with Krishna. Perhaps, maybe even today, I would never have a relationship with Krishna. And sometimes even people in India, they are not connected to Krishna. No, there is a saying that when you live close to the train station, you more often miss the train. It's the saying. So I was giving a Sunday feast lecture at the San Diego temple some time ago. And I told best times about Srila Prabhupada. And after the class, this Indian man came to me and said, I have one more best time for you to tell on the next class. I was born in Mathura. But do you know where I came to know Krishna? Here, at the San Diego temple. Before he didn't know Krishna. Yeah. And this is so common. Now, Prabhupada's books are so powerful that they can change the life of anybody at any time. And I'm going to tell you a very nice pastime about the books. This is the best story I heard in my entire life. And I want to share with you. This was told by Indrajuna Swami. That one night, late at night, he got a call from his mother. He had preached to his mother throughout his life. He was constantly giving her books. But she was an atheist. When he had discussions about God with her, she would say, maybe there is something out there. Maybe there's something out there. She said that in disbelief. But one night, late at night, he got a call from her. Hi mom, how are you? And she immediately said, would you take me to Vrindavan? He said, what? I preached to her my entire life for 25 years. I gave her all kinds of books. She never paid any attention. She did not even believe in God. And now she's asking me to take her to Vrindavan? Yes. Would you take me to Vrindavan? Would you take me to Vrindavan tomorrow? I said, wow. He said, mom, it's a little late and I'm a little tired. Can we talk tomorrow and discuss the details? Yes, I will take you to Vrindavan. But can we discuss the details tomorrow? Okay. So the next day, he woke up early, he took a shower, he was refreshed, so he decided to call her. And his brother Pete answers the phone. Hi Pete, may I talk to mom? There was a silence. And he understood that something is wrong. And Pete said, mom passed away last night. Wow. Did she say anything? Yes, she did. 6 months ago, She found out that she had cancer. Then she went to the garage. You know, all the books that you gave to her, they were all sitting in the garage for all the past 25 years, collecting dust. I saw her in the garage cleaning each one of the books. And then she piled all the books up and she told me, "Can you bring them to the house?" So I brought all the books to the house. Then she called your tape minister in London. And she bought all your lectures. She wanted very much to meet with you. But she did not want you to know that she had cancer. She thought you were doing such an important work. And she didn't want you to be concerned about her health. And throughout the 6 months, she was sitting on her rocking chair, reading the books. And often she would underline things that were very, very meaningful to her. And she was listening at least 3 of your classes every day on her headphones. And she wanted very much to talk to you. And she wanted very much to take her to Vrindavan. So you see the power of Prabhupada's books. Now the entire life this person had the books there. And the books were meaningless to her. But suddenly, something touched her heart. And she's reading the books. And at the end of her life, she's thinking about going to Vrindavan. And at the very end of her life, Pete told Indrajuna. And she said, "And now, I'm going back to Krishna." And she left her body. Like this. So, it's very amazing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's an unlimited mercy. Sometimes we may think I'm very fallen, I am not advancing, but we don't know what Krishna has for us. There's a nice pastime of a devotee. He was from a Sikh family. And he decided to leave the movement in Bombay. Said, "I'm not going to be part of this movement anymore." But because prior to that, he was collecting funds with Tamal Krishna and Giriraj to build the Vrindavan temple. After he left the temple, he kept collecting funds. And Tamal Krishna went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, now we need to send a letter to the life members to tell them that no, he is no longer part of the movement." But Prabhupada was hesitant in doing so. He didn't want to do. After some time, this devotee took shelter of a bogus guru at the Juhu beach because he wanted to learn how to pass a coin from one ear to the other ear. He wanted to learn this power. And when Tamal Krishna heard that, because he was still collecting from the life members, Tamal Krishna told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, now enough is enough. Now it's too much. We need to do something, Prabhupada. Now there is a limit." And Prabhupada said, "Tamal, you do not understand the mercy of Lord Nityananda." Tamal said, "What do you mean, Prabhupada? There is no end to the mercy of Lord Nityananda. There's no limit." Sometime later, this devotee came back and joined Prabhupada again. Prabhupada even gave sannyas to him. Eventually, he fell down. But see, Prabhupada was never willing to give up on somebody easily. He was always ready to cultivate anybody that wanted to serve Krishna. And he was very kind. And that's the mood, this merciful mood that we need to cultivate among ourselves. I was actually telling Panchagoda Prabhu, "You are so kind to me." And he told me, "Well, we have to be kind to each other. No, we always talk together on this one." So we're all together in this movement, in this boat, and we need to be very kind to each other. As Prabhupada was very kind to us. Often he had to discipline us, but he would never give up on somebody. On rare occasions, he had to do so. It's almost 9 o'clock. I have 500 more stories to tell you, but there's not enough time. Feel free to ask some questions. Please. Okay, if you don't have any questions, I'm going to ask you a question. $100,000 premium. When did Prabhupada fly for the first time? From which city to which city? Which airline? Which flight number? And which date? Okay, he flew to San Francisco from where? From New York. So he got the first part of the question right. Oh no. Wrong again. Please stop. No, you're going to look bad in front of the deities. Please stop. Not in India. Anybody else wants to try? Raise your hand. Okay, it was United Airlines. Flight number 21. 16th of January 1967. Now, there's another nice story about... No, Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was flying with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, if anybody questions, why do I accept the title Prabhupada? You should ask them. And he was very emphatic. How many miles did you travel? How many countries did you visit? How many temples did you open? How many books did you publish? How many devotees did you make? Ask them. I inherited this title from my spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hari Bol. He inherited the title from his spiritual master. He did more than anybody else could do in their best days. Yeah. Also, Srila Prabhupada arrived in 1972 on American Airlines in Dallas at the Love Field Airport to install Radha Kalachanji. So he arrived at the airport and there was a special seat for him. So he seated and he started speaking. There are three ways of flying. There are many reporters there. So the reporters started writing. Three ways of flying on their notepads. And there was a reporter next to Sureshwara who told this story, Sureshwara Prabhu. And he saw her writing, three ways of flying. And Prabhupada said, pigeon, not swan, he said, pigeon. And she wrote, pigeon. Mantra, she wrote, mantra. And machine, she wrote, in machine. Pigeon, no, there were pigeons that were trained to carry people. Mantra, there are yogis that they can fly on the mantra and machine. And then this reporter that was next to Prabhupada, next to Sureshwara, raised her hand, said, Swami, if you know all these ways of flying, why did you take American Airlines to get here today? And Prabhupada immediately said, to be one with you. And she looked at Sureshwara and said, I like this man. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.